It's an easy thing for us all to become complacent in the way we live. It's easy to become complacent in our relationships with our spouses, in our relationships with our children, in the relationships we have with our parents. You just can go on and on. It's easy to become complacent in those areas of our life. It's easy to become complacent in our work. That it just becomes old habit and routine, and we go to work and show up and we perform the duties that we're supposed to perform, but we just find ourselves kind of as robots going about the tasks that are before us. It's just as easy to get in a rut as we go through the motions of our faith and in being Christians and following Christ and living out our lives for Him. We think that we are going to get by because of what we did a year ago, maybe, or what we did 50 years ago if we're old enough to do that. Maybe we think we're going to get by because of what our parents did when they were young people, or when they were still alive, or our grandparents or great-grandparents. We think we're in good standing with God because we do all the religious things of the church or of religious people. The truth is that God doesn't want our lip service. He wants our obedience. That was what Samuel was trying to tell Saul that day. Saul kept put up this front. He did these things. He didn't do anything that was so bad. All he did was hold out some of the spoil to sacrifice, he says. Now, whether or not that was totally his intent, it may have been that he was thinking about holding out some of those spoils so that, you know, he could get a little richer, have a little more herd, have some more herds than what he had, become more prosperous in a monetary sense. But still, even if he had held them out with all good intentions, that all he was going to do was sacrifice those things, that's not what God asked him to do. That was not the directive that God gave him. God doesn't want our half-hearted attempts at service to Him. He wants our complete obedience. That was Saul's, the message that Samuel brought to Saul. It's the same message that's brought to us today. On Wednesday nights, I've talked quite a bit about Abraham and things we can learn from Abraham. I'm doing characters, you know, from the Bible, and I haven't got past Abraham yet. I've had a number of weeks on him on Wednesday night. What was it about Abraham that God counted to him as righteousness? It was his willingness to do what he said. That was the first thing that when God came to him and told him to leave and take his family and all that he had and leave his father's house and go away. It was because of his obedience and willingness to do that that God counted it righteousness to him. What was it that God counted as good and righteous in Abraham's life when he asked him to take Isaac, the son of the promise, and take him and sacrifice him? God didn't want the blood of Isaac. God wanted Abraham's obedience. And when Abraham was obedient, we know the story. He stopped him before he was able to do it. It was Abraham's obedience that won favor with God. Today I want to look at four things that the Scripture teaches us about obedience. Four things that we probably could come up with 400 things. But today, there are four things about obedience that I want to look at. Obedience, not just simply obedience, not half-hearted obedience, but obedience in depth. The first one is, God wants us to obey immediately. Obey God immediately. Our thoughts are that, you know, God gives us instructions on what to do. We understand when I say obey God, I'm not talking about just obeying that voice that comes out of the clear blue and says do this or do that. I'm talking about when you read His Word here and it speaks to you and it tells you to do something, how to live your life a certain way we should treat each other. Folks, you don't have to go home and pray about it. You don't need to come to the altar here and pray about should you love your neighbor. This Word tells you that. God has called you to do that. He has given you that directive, that commandment. Do it. Immediately. Begin loving your neighbor immediately. And we can go through all the commandments, any of God's precepts, and say that very same thing. But we kind of think as humans that, I can do that after a while. It's not really necessary to do it right now or today. Tomorrow is a wonderful day. Tomorrow would be a great time to do it. We like to procrastinate, and I'm chief of the procrastinators of this world. I like putting things off that can be done tomorrow. Why not? Drove Renee crazy when I was in seminary and I was working on papers and studying for tests at the last minute, at the 11th hour, the 13th hour, and the minute beforehand. We tend to put things off to tomorrow that not only could be done today, but that we should be doing today. We say we just don't have time right now. Folks, the truth is, we can't afford, we don't have time not to obey God. The Psalms 119 verses 32 and verse 60 tell us, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. We need to be diligent in doing what God has called us to do. Not put it off till tomorrow, not wait till the sun is shining, but do it now. Obey God immediately. When you hear God's voice, when you hear His Word, when it tells you to do something, folks, there are some things we just don't have to think about. Do it now. The second thing is to obey God completely. Psalm 119, verse 4, and then Proverbs 3, verse 5. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. It doesn't mean when we follow God's directive, when God gives us instruction, when God says, honor your father and mother, it doesn't mean for you to honor them today, but tomorrow I'm going to take a break from it. It doesn't mean when the Scriptures say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it doesn't mean that you'll just do that as long as everything's going good, as long as your job is going well, and as long as your children and you are healthy. It means do it all the time, completely, always. Sometimes we think that obeying God is something that we can pick and choose. I'll do this part of what He says, but this part really isn't necessary. I'll give money to God. I'll put money in the collection plate, but it's not really necessary that I tithe. That's an Old Testament thing. We can't pick and choose on what God has called us to do. We can't pick and choose. The commandments, the precepts that are contained within the bounds of Scripture are not multiple choice. I can do this one and not do that one. They are inclusive. They are requirements for us all. We are called to obey God completely. The third thing, we are called to obey God continually. Psalm 119, 33, and verse 112. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Folks, we can't choose to do it today and not do it tomorrow. We can't just say, oh, I believe, and rest on that for the rest of our lives. That we must continue in our faith, continue to move forward, continue to work to obedience towards God. We must obey God continually. It's not just that point of salvation where we come to God and say, I believe, I'm saved, I'm fine, nothing else to worry about from now on. We need to be in obedience to God. Our attempt must be daily to be obedient. Fourth, we obey God joyfully. Psalm 100, verse 2, and then Psalm 19, 16 and 47. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before His presence with singing. I will delight myself in Your statutes. I will not forget Your word, and I will delight myself in Your commandments, which I love. We are to come to God and be obedient to what He's called us, what He's instructed us to do, with joy. That's probably the hardest of all things. We do things, but we do it grudgingly. I don't want to do that, but I'll do it because I've been told. You know, our children, when we tell them to do something, they don't do it with a smile on their face, but they do it begrudgingly just because they know that we have the authority. God wants our obedience, but He wants us to do it with joy. Why not constantly asking, why do I have to do it? We may not understand all of God's commands towards us. We may not understand why He wants us to do everything that He wants us to do. But we are called to trust Him and to do these things joyfully because He's asked them. God's desire for you, God's desire is for your obedience. Parent asks a child to do something, and it's not just to see them perform some kind of circus routine. It is for their own good. I've not asked my children very many times to do anything for me, for my own benefit, for my own pleasure, so to speak. I ask them to do things. I have required them to do things just like you have, for their own good. It's even more so with God. You know, I can remember the kids when they were younger, and for some reason or other, whatever it may be, telling them, now don't go out and get on the trampoline and be jumping. Well, after a little while, they'll be outside and you look out there, and there they are on the trampoline. Not jumping, but they're just sitting there. Say, so, didn't I tell you not to be on the trampoline? Oh, we're not jumping on the trampoline. We're just sitting here. Well, okay, I'll let you slide on that. 15 minutes later, you look out there and they're walking around real heavy on it. You know what I mean? Real heavy. In 10 more minutes, you just watch them. In 10 more minutes, they get down, they get up, and they kind of jump over on the trampoline then, you know, and they're bouncing around a little bit. In 10 more minutes, they're jumping and doing backflips and double somersaults and all sorts of things. God's call for us is to be obedient in every way. To be obedient immediately, completely, continually, and joyfully. Give God your obedience. Hear His word. Obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for all that you have given us, for Your precious word that is for us and for our benefit and not for You. We thank You, Father, that You have called us to this relationship. Give us the strength and the wisdom to live in it, Lord. To not live in it half-heartedly, but to live in it with all our hearts. Lord, may You touch us today. May You bring us closer, and may we each be more obedient to You in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our